This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Inflation numbers are out. They suck. We have Joe Kent here. We're going to support Joe Kent, Christina Wong, Carol Roth. We are jam-packed tonight on I'm Right. Uh-oh. Inflation still sucks. I don't mean to laugh at it. What are we supposed to say at this point in time? We're all poorer. 8.5% poorer. At least it's a lot higher than that, but we have the number out now. 8.5% year over year. What does that mean? Well, it means 1 year ago, you had 8.5% more money. Your money was worth 8.5% more. It's really, really, really bad. Now, some people are trying to put lipstick on this pig and point out gas prices. Gas prices are down. The national average is still over $4. We're celebrating a reduction in gas prices when it doesn't matter at all. And by the way, gas prices are down because demand is down. People can't afford to go anywhere. What's up? Oh, I don't know. Pretty much everything. Fuel's up 75.6%. Eggs up 38, airline fares 27.7, coffee 20, transportation 19, milk 15, baby food 15, meat, poultry, fish 9, and your earnings down 3%. So what would Joe Biden say about something like this? I mean, it's really bad, right? You're poorer. I'm poorer. Well, he just lied.
Actually, I just want to say a number. Zero. Today, we received news that our economy had 0% inflation in the month of July. Wages are up this month. First, the economic plan is working.
Joining me now to elaborate on all this stuff, Carol Roth, recovering investment banker, author of the book, The War on Small Business. Carol, great news today. Joe Biden says inflation is gone. I'm excited.
You should be, Jesse. You know, it's kind of like if you were sick and you had, let's say, a fever and you were vomiting every 2 hours. And then the next day you woke up and you had a fever and you were vomiting every 4 hours. So I guess it's better to be vomiting every 4 hours than every 2 hours, but you're still sick. And unfortunately, and I predicted this on the show before, this is the victory lap that they were going to take. You know, as soon as things stop increasing, the growth rate stops increasing, then we're going to go, look how amazing it is. Look at all the wonderful things we did. But it was entirely expected, by the way, because the price of energy has come down because of demand destruction. And that has been destroyed because there are countries in this world that cannot afford energy. So they are just literally not using it. They're having blackouts. They're rationing energy. And that has decreased the price for the rest of the world. And that has obviously impacted all of the prices, but still to the extent that we are up 8.5% on a year-over-year basis. And last year we were up at this point, I think around 6%. And that is a permanent tax on every American.
Carol, I want to zero in on the energy thing you just brought up, because I brought this up briefly in the beginning. Explain what you mean about countries can't afford it, not buying it, because people do get confused. Oh, well, gas prices are down. What's happening? Explain, please.
Yeah, so on the world stage, oil and different energy commodities are traded, and that price reflects supply and demand. We have been in a supply crunch, which means that we're not producing enough for the demand that's out there, and that's why the prices have increased. But the prices got so high that there were countries that literally could not afford to buy as much to meet their needs. So they have been living without energy and in whole or in part, depending on the country, from Pakistan to countries in Africa that just literally cannot afford to buy energy at this prices. So that those high prices are literally hurting human flourishing. And this is why I say I am more concerned in terms of humans and their ability to live and to succeed. I'm more concerned about that from climate change activism than I am from climate change.
Yeah. Carol, Joe Biden, well, here he is talking about the Inflation Reduction Act.
The debt we passed yesterday, helping take care of everything from health care to God knows what else.
To God knows what else, Carol? Does Joe Biden not know what's in the bill?
It's like the teacher Charlie Brown talking there. I have no idea. I don't think he has any idea what's going on. He's deciding what flavor pudding snack he's going to have going on. But the thing is, when they name these bills, like, we shouldn't let them have these fun marketing names for bills like the Fluffy Puppy Act and the Inflation Reduction Act. It should just be named by the year and the number of the bill that it is, or maybe about the amount that it's spending, because it has nothing to do with reducing inflation. This is just chopping up Build Back Better into bite-sized pieces to force it down our throat. And it's important for us to continue to reject the premise that the government needs to spend an additional dollar. Because if you think about how much they collected last year, $4 trillion, and how much they're projecting this year, $4.4 trillion, if we just spent the amount that we spent in 2008, based on what they're projecting to collect this year, we'd have a $300 billion surplus from 2018. From 2019, we would be at a balanced budget. So the fact of the matter is, if they just stop increasing the spending, we could actually tackle the national debt. We could turn this all around, but they're just a bunch of greedy whores, Jesse.
Gosh, they really are. That greedy whores is such an appropriate term for them. All right, Carol, this popped into my head as I heard you talk about it. We talk a lot about inflation, what it means to normal people, obviously, because they matter the most, groceries and gas and energy and things like that. But it means a lot to the government too, right? Especially when these people are always jacking their spending up. Government dollar is the same as my dollar. It's the same as your dollar. Inflation hurts the entire country, no?
No, because they will find a way to get what it is that they want, and they have various means to do that. They can either take away some of the promises they've given to you. They probably won't do that because that's not popular. They can tax us more, taking away more of our dollars, or they have access to the printing press and the Federal Reserve to monetize the debt, as they've been doing for the past, number of years. And so that will just continue to print more, drive more long-term inflation, and just keep destroying the value of your dollar. They don't care. It's all about gaining power for them and getting more things under their purview. And they want to destroy the middle class, because if you are then dependent upon the government, that's the ultimate power for them. And that is all that they care about, period, end of story.
Speaking of taxes, I'm glad you brought that up, Carol. Here's Corinne Diversity Hire.
Do you think it's going to be popular when the 87,000 new employees hired by the IRS go around and start auditing people to pay for the Inflation Reduction Act?
So it's very clear. The IRS commissioner was very clear on this. He said that on the record, that this only will only apply to those earning over $400,000. The commissioner said, and I quote, "These resources are absolutely not about increasing audit scrutiny on small businesses or middle-income Americans, as we have been implanting our investment of these enforcement resources is designed around Treasury directive that audit rates will not rise relative to recent years for households making under $400,000.
So no new audits on anybody making under $400,000 here?
No, very clear, no.
Carol? I don't think she's telling the truth. Carol, I know as a recovering investment banker, you know one or two rich people. Would you please explain why rich people aren't as worried about audits as others?
Well, you know, these are the same people who told you that there was going to be no inflation and that it was going to be transitory. And they were also on the record. They're lying liars who lie. You know, if you want to say that this is about going after billionaires, there's 800 to 900 billionaires at the most in this country, and they're hiring 87,000 agents. They're not going after these people. First of all, they're their cronies. They're the ones that fund the lobbying dollars in the campaigns. So of course they're not going after their friends. And by the way, the people who are wealthy have armies of accountants and lawyers that literally cross every T and dot every I to make sure that they don't get hauled in. They want to take advantage of every legal opportunity to not pay taxes, but they're not going to, you know, screw around with that. What they are doing is they are going after the middle class. They are going after small businesses, independent contractors, and frankly, the mom who are selling on Etsy and eBay. And I'm not, this is not hyperbole. They, in the American Rescue Plan last year, they lowered the threshold of e-commerce reporting on sites like eBay and Etsy and Venmo and PayPal from $20,000 used to trigger a report to the IRS. Now it's an aggregate per year of $600. Again, not a lot of super wealthy people running around with $600 aggregate Venmo, you know, accounts and eBay transactions. This, again, is meant to go after the middle class, and anybody who doesn't believe this is absolutely naive.
Carol Roth, the book is The War on Small Business. Thank you, Carol. All right, we have so much more. We still have Joe Kent. We still have Christina Wong. We have a jam-packed show, so don't go anywhere. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I'm right. Now, how's your health? No judgment here. You know I love a glass of Jim Beam and a Meat Lover's Pizza as much as the next man. I'm not judging you, just asking, how's your health? Everything's going to crap around us. We need to focus on ourselves. Self-improvement. You should be practicing with your weapon more. You should be getting healthier this year than you were last year. I am. Part of that is CHOC, natural herbal supplements. Fellas, a male vitality stack. Remember, it's natural herbal supplements. 20% increase in your testosterone in 90 days. Ladies, they have a female vitality stack. They have lip powder. The entire site is natural herbal supplements, and they're hardcore anti-communists. I love that about them the most. CHOQ.com, CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse. Get you 30% off the entire store, too. Go save some money, get healthier. CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
Each morning, the President of the United States receives a highly classified briefing on the most important issues facing the country. It's called the President's Daily Brief, or PDB. It's delivered by America's spies and analysts. Well, now you can hear your very own PDB in the form of a podcast hosted by me, Brian Dean Wright, a former CIA operations officer. Each morning at 6 a.m. Eastern, I'll bring you 15 to 20 minutes of the most important issues facing the country, giving you the critical intelligence and analysis you need to start your morning.
Is this administration weaponizing the Justice Department and the FBI against political opponents?
Peter, the president believes in the rule of law. The president believes in the independence of the Department of Justice.
That's a yes or no.
No, that is, no, it's a yes or a no for you. I'm answering the question. You may not like it, but I'm answering the question. And I'm, no, Nope. I'm answering the question, and I'm telling you that we are not going to comment.
That's kind of an odd way to answer that, no? Joining me now, my friend Liz Wheeler of The Liz Wheeler Show. Liz, man, that kind of sounds like me when the wife asks how many beers I had out golfing with the fellas. Look, there's a lot of ins, a lot of outs. I mean, it's really complicated. that didn't sound very honest.
Don't you just get the cringies up and down your arms every time she opens her mouth? Karine Jean-Pierre might be the worst press secretary we've ever seen. Say what you will about Jen Psaki. She was condescending. She was annoying. But she was actually a good representation of the Biden administration. She was good at her job, even if her job was terrible. Karine Jean-Pierre, it makes me cringe to watch her. Listen, the Biden administration, this is the option. Either they didn't know what was going on before the FBI raided Trump at Mar-a-Lago, which means that President Vegetable is so far removed from the workings of his own executive branch. And the deep state has corrupted the FBI so much that it's completely out of control, or the White House is lying to us. Those are the two options. It's a binary choice. I'm not sure which is the worst choice here, but one thing that I do know is the FBI needs to be abolished. It needs to be completely dismantled. Its functions that are necessary need to be farmed out, but the FBI, I mean, the history of the FBI is one of corruption. It's one of political targeting, right? This isn't some institution that was made up of Boy Scouts that suddenly went sour and it just needs to be reclaimed and repurposed. No, this was always an institution that was intended to spy on American citizens from the time of J. Edgar Hoover, and it's time to end it.
Liz, I don't want to be a downer, right? I don't want to be a doomer or a downer, but it feels like this is something we don't come back from, right? But as soon as you get to the point where you're totally comfortable sending your FBI after your political opponent, I don't know how we come back from that, Liz, because you can't ignore it. You can't let it go. The only thing we could do is a tit for tat, go after them. But that even descends us into... Tell me how we get out of this.
This does feel different. I said the evening that the news broke, I said the fury that I see on Twitter or that I'm hearing on cable news or all of the text messages that I got from just about everybody that I know in politics, I haven't seen fury like that before. People are outraged. People are shocked, shell-shocked in a time when there's so, I mean, the entire news cycle is a cycle of outrage. It's hard to be shell-shocked if you work in this industry like we do, but people are so furious. This is different. This is monumental. President Trump definitely is running, if he wasn't already, which he was. He definitely is now, and this is the moment that will galvanize the entire Republican electorate behind him. Every single person who saw what happened at Mar-a-Lago understands that not only is that a gross abuse of power, but if that can happen to a former president of the United States, who is also most likely to be the Republican nominee in 2024, so Biden's political opposition in the next presidential election cycle, it's certainly can happen to you or to I or to anybody watching. The difference is when it happens to us, nobody's going to pay attention to it.
Well, they might pay attention if it happened to you, Liz. But all right. Let me ask you this then. If Donald Trump's going to be the next president, let's say he runs in 24, wins the nomination, he's going to be the next president. That's fine. I know he's going to be uniquely motivated to clean some of this out. Donald Trump reportedly wanted to do a lot more cleaning out last time, and because of the losers he surrounds himself with, they talked him out of it. Oh, we're going to get bad press. I can't fire Fauci. We're going to get bad press. I can't do this. We're going to get bad press. Why am I getting a different Donald Trump who's not going to worry about bad press the next time?
Listen, that's been one of my criticisms of the first Trump administration. I thought he was an excellent president through the first 3 years. I think that he mishandled COVID. I think that he surrounded himself with more unsuck-ups and deep staters. But he underestimated what the deep state is. Actually, a lot of Republicans underestimated what the deep state is. We thought that in these executive agencies, this administrative state, it was just the political appointees, those at the top of the agency that were so political, and that their politics, their ideology trickled down into the staff and into how the staff either did their job or didn't do their job well at these agencies. It turns out that these agencies are corrupted at the core, that it's not just a matter of firing the top people in those agencies, that you really have to clean it from the top to the bottom to make sure that people who are supposed to be doing things do them and people who aren't supposed to be doing things don't do those things. President Trump has unveiled, I mean, he actually signed this as an executive order in October of 2020. He signed what's called Schedule F, which would reclassify a lot of these civil servants that work in the administrative state. And it would allow a future president to fire these people, because right now it's almost impossible to fire civil service employees. And it would allow the hiring process to take into account the judgment and qualifications of the employees that they want to hire. President Trump didn't issue that till the end of his first term. Biden immediately rescinded that in January of 2021. And I think that that's going to be a priority one for the Trump administration, probably a day one executive order to get rid of maybe 50,000 of these deep staters that are working to undermine everything that President Trump's trying to do.
Liz, Mitch McConnell couldn't be bothered to be even act interested in the raid. It took him about 24 hours before he came out, gave some lame statement about how he needs an explanation. Look, I give Mitch McConnell credit for things like judges and things like that, but man alive, every time this guy pops his head up, I think to myself, this is not a friend to us. This is the controlled opposition, Liz. Am I wrong?
No, I mean, I saw this. This is a very similar statement to the comment that Senator Tim Scott made. And I give McConnell a lot of credit for getting the Supreme Court, getting us the Supreme Court that we currently have, getting us Gorsuch and Kavanaugh and Amy Coney Barrett, as well as a lot of judges on the judiciary that we don't even know the names of. So that's not going to change. But this behavior, are you joking? What are we waiting to see? As it relates to what Senator Tim Scott said, that we should just let this play out, what are you waiting to let happen? Are you waiting for President Trump to be arrested? Are you waiting for a perp walk? Are you waiting for a mugshot? Are you waiting until the former president of the United States, who is also going to be the 2024 nominee, is indicted, is imprisoned? Why would you give any benefit of the doubt to an FBI who has actually used the power of the federal government, not just this time, but in 2016 to do the exact same thing, to target the political opposition of the radical left? They have proven time and time again they are a corrupt agency. They are run by radical leftist ideologues who have no respect for the Constitution, no respect for our rights, and are attacking Trump just because they don't want him to run again. I cannot with what McConnell is doing and how Tim Scott responded.
Are we changing the face of the GOP, Liz? I know it's happening slower than you would like. It's happening slower than I would like. But these old, well, let's wait till the facts come out, losers, they are going to go away, right? Eventually, it may take us some election cycles, but we are going to remove these dinosaurs.
Of course we are. Of course we are. Letting the facts come out. Let's talk about the facts when it comes to the FBI's history of warrants. Because this was, Jesse, I'm sure you heard this. This was one of the predominant narratives the left was slinging about this warrant that the FBI used as justification to raid Mar-a-Lago. They said, oh, a judge signed off on this warrant. That must mean there was something there. That must mean there was probable cause. A judge wouldn't just rubber stamp that, ignoring the fact that judges can be corrupt individuals. And this judge, Bruce Reinhart, was actually a lawyer for Epstein's friends. He was, and it's worse than that. He was actually a prosecutor that was prosecuting Epstein in 2007. He quit in the middle of that to become a defense attorney for Epstein's friends, and his new law practice shared an address with Epstein's lead lawyer. That's the judge that signed off on this warrant. But think about the previous FBI warrants. Think about the FBI warrants, the FISA warrants on Carter Page. Literally, the Office of the Inspector General said there were 17 things that rendered those warrants illegal. There were lies. There was lack of evidence. There was negligence. There was refusing to put exculpatory evidence in front of this judge. These were false, fake, phony, illegal warrants that the FBI got to spy on Carter Page and then continue to spy on Carter Page as a way of spying on Trump and everyone in his orbit. So I don't know what these guys are talking about. They do not have the fire in their belly that we need to defeat our political enemy. And Jesse, if we don't understand who it is that we are fighting politically in our country, if we think it's just well-intentioned but dumb Democrats or Republicans who are being prudent, if we don't understand that what we're fighting right now are Marxists who want to destroy our nation, then we're not going to fight well. And if we don't fight well, we're not going to defeat them.
Exculpatory. That's such a great word. I'm going to figure out what that word means, and I'm going to use it today. Liz Wheeler, thank you. I appreciate you.
Thanks, Jesse. I appreciate it.
All right. We're not done. We got Joe Kent. You want to change Washington? Joe Kent's one of those guys who's going to help change Washington. Let's wait and hear what he has to say. Before we get to that, we already broke down inflation, right, with Carol Roth. That didn't feel good. There wasn't a lot of sunny news in there. Do you have any gold yet? Oxford Gold Group will deliver gold coins to your front door. You know, there's a chance this dollar thing continues to go downhill. They're still blowing billions and billions, hundreds of billions of dollars. You know, they're still printing money. You realize that? It's not like they've stopped the printing presses. They're still printing money. What is the future going to hold economically? I don't know. Nothing good. Definitely not for a few years. Oxford Gold Group will mail gold to your front door. Call 833-995-GOLD. Tell them Jesse told you to call. Don't do anything drastic or anything you can't do. Just get some gold and be smart. 833-995-GOLD, Oxford Gold Group. All right? They're super laid back, easy to work with. Call them today. We'll be back.
This is a very hard-fought primary, and I think that's an absolutely good thing. That's going to serve us very well going forward, because steel sharpens steel. You train like you fight. The more that you sweat in training, the less you bleed on the battlefield. I feel very, very prepared to go forward and to fight everything that the far left and the administrative state are going to continue to throw at not just me, but all of you. And I will be honored to stand in the breach and fight with you for our country. I am absolutely honored to have this nomination. I'm absolutely honored to go forth and to fight for all of you. Thank you very much. Let's make America great again.
Joe Kent, my man, just finally won his primary in Washington. Now he's going up against some scumbag Democrat. We'll talk to him about that in a second. Retired Green Beret, wife gave her life for this country. Joe, your primary was like 8,000 years ago. Why are we just now getting a victory speech? What's the holdup?
Well, we're doing lynching month out here, Jesse. We send out the ballots in mid-July, and then we take about a week or so to count them all. So my opponent finally conceded yesterday, but we've been counting ballots now for about a week. So this is just one of the downfalls of these massive unsolicited mail-out ballots.
Joe, it's way more than just Washington and how you do it there. Across the country, I mean, we have this advanced country. And for some reason, there are all these election problems every time, all these delays. Did we double count these ballots? We're waiting for these to trickle in. I mean, I'm no fan of Europeans. France doesn't have these problems. Why are we so screwed up here?
Okay. You know, I think we have a lot of people that genuinely believe that we need to mail out ballots to get maximum amounts of participation. I think that's the narrative that's been sold to a lot of people. This is why I'm so big on adjudicating 2020, because we need to show the American people just how dangerous this is and just how incompetent. It's a horrible system. The way that we just send out these ballots over the course of a month, people vote, and then come election night, we have no idea who won or where the ballots even are. We had a hard time in our state really getting an idea of exactly how many people had even participated and voted. We kept hearing different numbers. We're 75% complete. We're 80% complete. It just doesn't inspire a lot of confidence in our system.
It doesn't. It doesn't. All right. You were up against not just the left. You were up against the establishment, the GOP, such as it is. Explain.
And so I was running against one of the impeachment voters, Jamie Hura Butler. She's one of the 10 that voted for the impeachment of President Trump, and a long list of other really bad votes. The establishment did everything they could to hold that seat, to keep her in there, to include right at the very last minute, about the last 12 days, they dropped a little bit over $4 million, just really aggressively attacking me, attempting to prop up one of my other opponents. We had three or four other opponents in the race, too. We had about five of us when all was said and done, fighting for those Republican votes, which just shows you really how strongly conservative our district is, even all the way out here on the left coast.
Yeah. People do not understand how the red pockets out there, even in these blue states, how blood red they are. Joe, you brought up the administrative state. You bring it up a lot. Boy, is that in the news now, especially when people remember back to Chuck Schumer in 2017 saying things like this.
Take on the intelligence community. They have six ways from Sunday at getting back at you. So even for a practical, supposedly hard-nosed businessman, he's being really dumb to do this.
What do you think the intelligence community would do if they were motivated?
I don't know, but from what I am told, they are very upset with how he has treated them and talked about.
Joe, I have never heard a response. I've never heard people talk like I've heard them talk for about the last 48 hours since the FBI raided Donald Trump's home. It feels like we have crossed into some territory that, buddy, I don't know if we can come back from with this administrative state.
I agree. I mean, this exposed everything. For people who were skeptical about the administrative state, the deep state, the intelligence community before, this should serve as a wake-up call. They just raided a former president's residence. They could have asked him to bring in any kind of documents they were looking for, but they intentionally opted to go for a raid. And, you know, one of the biggest things I hit my former opponent on was the fact that she voted for impeachment, but then also she really jumped onto the January 6th narrative. And with the January 6th narrative, it had really very little to do with actually January 6th. It had everything to do with having a reason to weaponize the national security state against the American people. So yeah, they go against the people they really fear, like President Trump, but they're also coming after, you know, parents that show up to school board meetings. They have the FBI counterterrorism task force going after them. So the administrative state is completely and totally out of control and must be brought to heel if we're going to preserve our republic. This is going to be the biggest fight that we have going forward in 2023.
Joe, could you help me understand? Because Green Beret, CIA, all this experience with this stuff, and you're what I picture when I think about these things. You're one of these hard-charging warriors who'd give his life for the country. But apparently these organizations are not filled with people like you. Help me understand why.
I think they exploit a lot of people that are like you and I, that joined the military and wanted to go serve our country. I think at the core, the people that are out there doing the tasks, your FBI field agents, your CIA operatives that are out there risking their lives, they're the ones that really want to make a difference. But at the upper levels, just like in the military, you know, guys that become, they rise above the rank of colonel, they become politicians. It's the same thing with a lot of these administrators, and they start to have more loyalty to their institutions than they do the Constitution. They start to think, hey, they know best, and if they have power, they're going to use it. And look, a big problem too is we're recruiting a lot of these people from college campuses, and colleges have been really infiltrated by the Marxists. And Marxist doctrine says, hey, if you have power, you wield that power against your political opponents just to seize more and more power. And that's what we're seeing right now. So we need major reform in the intelligence community.
Joe, do we have to start operating in that way? I mean, look, for my entire life, the right has bragged that they won't use their power. This is what I won't do. Here's a list of all the things I can't do anything. Do we have to change that mindset, Joe?
We do. We have to change it. It has to change now. Look, the left is at war with us, and this isn't a war that we chose. However, they're at war with us, and we will stop. We will perish as a nation if we don't start fighting back. When we get control of power, and this starts in 23, when we take back Congress and we take back a couple seats in the Senate, we're still going to have to fight the Biden administration. But we have very potent tools. We control the budget. If we want to hold these people accountable on the floor of the Oversight Committee, that has to be followed up with actual criminal charges against people like Merrick Garland, just for example, what happened to President Trump. But also saying, hey, if you guys don't reform, we simply will not fund you. We have the power of the purse strings. We will use the appropriations process to ensure that you're following the Constitution. And if Republicans aren't ready to fight like that, then they're simply not fit for duty anymore.
Amen. But finally, Joe, one of the things you talk about a lot, which I love, is the military-industrial complex. And I think a lot of people, they hear that word and maybe they think conspiracy theory, or they don't truly understand how insidious it is with the money that changes hands and the generals. Can you explain what you're talking about with the military-industrial complex?
Yeah, I mean, very simply, war is a racket. I mean, war and foreign aid is one of the easiest ways that Washington, D.C. takes billions, if not more, of our taxpayer dollars and ships it overseas into places where the money really can't be accounted for, and then it comes right back into their coffers from defense contractors or other special interest groups. And look, we're coming up on the tragic anniversary of us leaving a horrible 20-year war in Afghanistan that we left in a complete and total disgrace. And within a couple of months, months, we are told that, hey, now that war is over, we need to go find this new war over in Ukraine. The stakes are even higher. We're risking nuclear war. But every time I think Zelensky comes up on TV, we're sending the guy at least a check for $1 billion at a time we can't secure our own border, at a time we can't get our baby's baby formula. So really, the military-industrial complex, war, and foreign aid are always going to be there as this very influential entity that wants to have us spend time, money, and resources abroad. A lot of it also ties into the liberal world order that you hear so much about. And basically, very simply put, the liberal world order is a great deal for everybody else who isn't America. And America will always be the ones that shoulder the burden with our taxpayer dollars and with our blood and treasure. So we have to really start thinking differently and putting our country first.
Joe, if people want you in Congress, how can they help you?
Yeah, please go to JoeKentForCongress.com. We got this far on individual contributions. I didn't take any corporate PAC money, even as they were throwing millions of dollars at me. So JoeKentForCongress.com, just a couple of bucks really helps us take back our country.
JoeKentForCongress.com. People, how many times have I had a candidate on this show and told you to go support him? Have I ever done it? Maybe once. I'm telling you, go now. Joe, I appreciate you, brother.
Thank you very much, Jesse.
We need that guy. I mean, we need a lot more of him, but we need that guy badly. All right, Eden Pure, your home stinks. I'm not judging you. I'm not judging you at all. I know you keep a clean home, but humans smell. Cooking smells, pets smell, life smells. You have viruses and mold and odors in your air. And no, that little weird oil thing you have plugged in that's covering up the odors isn't taking them out. Eden Pure Thunderstorm, it's like a miracle. It will clean your home. You know how you walk outside after a thunderstorm and it just smells so clean? You can have that inside of your house. I have people, they put this over litter boxes. Taxidermy offices use this thing to keep the odors out. They're amazing. They have a three-pack for sale for my viewers. You have to go to EdenPureDeals.com, code Jesse, and that's what will get you that three-pack, all right? EdenPureDeals.com, code Jesse. We'll be back.
We do not take an oath to a king or a queen, a tyrant or a dictator. We do not take an oath to an individual. No, we do not take an oath to a country, a tribe, or a religion. We take an oath to the Constitution.
That's interesting. Joining me now, my friend Christina Wong, Breitbart News Pentagon reporter. Christina, Milley's out there pushing some new book where he's bragging about what he meant to say, what he wanted to say to Donald Trump about the Lafayette Square thing. Break this down for us quickly, please.
Yes, Jesse, thanks for having me on. So basically, there's yet another book with all these anecdotes from Milley. In this one, supposedly Milley drafted a letter of resignation after he took the walk with President Trump across Lafayette Square and received a bunch of criticism for it. So apparently he drafted this letter of resignation, but never gave it to Trump because he wanted to stay within the military and fight Trump from within. So, you know, let's be honest, he's not gonna fight anything except for his expanding waistline here. I mean, there are so many things wrong with this report. This violates the principle of civilian control of the military. It's one of our founding principles. No one elected Milley, so he stayed to frustrate Trump's policies on Afghanistan, Iran, Syria, using troops in response to protests. That's not his job. His job is as military advisor to the president. He's not supposed to undermine the president and make policy. And he's a poster child for the deep state. He's unelected, unaccountable, thinks he's the smartest guy in the room. He's interested in power. He's too cowardly to, you know, come out and speak the truth and be accountable for his own, you know, thoughts. And it, I mean, an incredibly thin skin too. I mean, this is just audacious.
Christina, this sounds like treason. You can't, you're not in charge. You're the chairman of the Joint Chiefs. You're not in charge. And it's not just that it sounds treasonous. He's bragging about it. Fight him from within. Why didn't Trump fire this guy?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's sort of the audacious thing about it. He's basically flaunting his insubordination against the president, and, you know, violation of our Constitution and the president being commander-in-chief. He's flaunting this, and Democrats don't care. They're celebrating it. They're okay with weaponizing the military if it's on their side or on their behalf. Why didn't Trump fire him? Now, that's a great question. he made a lot of bad personnel choices, as we all know. I mean, just a little bit of this would get any chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff fired. President Biden should fire him. I mean, this is just because this is undermining our democracy. It's doing incredible harm to our military's reputation. The military is, you know, supposed to be apolitical, and this is undermining its reputation, our retention, recruitment. As you know, we're undergoing a major recruitment crisis. Republicans don't trust the military, and let's face it, a lot of conservatives make up the rank and file of our military, and the Army's struggling, the Air Force is struggling, other services are struggling to meet their recruitment quotas, and, you know, especially because we have the military vaccine mandate. I mean, this is really bad news. And look at Afghanistan. We're coming up on the one-year anniversary of our Afghanistan withdrawal. Who was that under? Milley. So, I mean, the fact that he still has a job is mind-boggling.
It is mind-boggling, and I'm glad you brought up Afghanistan and the state of our military, because here was John Kirby talking about China and Taiwan.
Repeatedly said that we oppose any unilateral changes to the status quo from either side. We have said that we do not support Taiwan independence, and we have said that we expect cross-strait differences to be resolved by peaceful means.
We will not allow China to isolate Taiwan. They have kept Taiwan from participating in the World Health Organization, other things where Taiwan can make a very valued contribution. And they may keep them from going there, but they're not keeping us from going to Taiwan.
Christina, I can't seem to figure out what our stance is on Taiwan, but all that aside, are we militarily even really able to step in and stop China?
Well, unfortunately, I think we would be very strained to stop China from invading Taiwan, especially at this point. We're pouring billions into Ukraine. For a long time, I think our policy was, you know, to keep our military ready to fight two wars at once. We can't even keep, you know, F-18s on the surface of our aircraft carriers that, you know, without blowing into the water. So, I mean, our military readiness is really kind of not where it should be at this point. So, yes, we would be a little bit hard-pressed, I think, if China were to invade Taiwan tomorrow. But as far as, you know, Pelosi, I mean, her trip, it was important, at least on a soft power term, geopolitically. China should not have a veto in where our diplomats go or where our officials go. You know, politically, it makes Biden look really weak because he opposed the trip. We don't know, you know, for what reason. He wants to cooperate with China on a bunch of other initiatives like climate change. And of course, this distracts from, you know, bad news over Pelosi's husband, drunk driving, investing in microchips and all of that stuff. So, I mean, Taiwan's a very complicated issue, and the Biden administration is making things worse. Biden himself keeps coming out and breaking our strategic ambiguity over Taiwan. So we have a policy of strategic ambiguity, which is we're not going to say whether or not we're going to intervene militarily on behalf of Taiwan. And that's to deter China from actually invading Taiwan. You know, China doesn't know whether or not we would or would not. But Biden keeps coming out and saying, oh, we're going to defend Taiwan. And then his White House advisors and spokespeople people, they run out and say, oh, no, he misspoke. He didn't mean it. We're not going to intervene on behalf of China. And that actually emboldens China to act up and press even further. So, I mean, this is a really complicated foreign policy issue, and the Biden administration just sort of is blundering through it.
Christina Wong, appreciate you. Thank you.
Thanks for having me on, Jesse.
All right. We have Light in the Mood next. Irish people, when they're really angry and yelling at each other, is really, really, really funny. You're going to laugh. So just hang on for Light in the Mood. Before we get to Light in the Mood, let's have this talk. Are you stuck in a timeshare? If you are, you're not alone. Don't sit there and feel stupid. I can't believe I got ripped off. Being stuck in a timeshare is the norm. They sweet talk you with these seminars and get you in, and then you find out when you're done using it, you can't get out. Keep paying those annual fees, keep paying those special assessments, annual fees that have doubled in some cases. You're not stuck. Lone Star Transfer is here. This is a family business. A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, and they guarantee it. They guarantee the release of all liability to your timeshare in writing and in a specific time frame. They will get you out. Make one phone call. Stop paying those daggone annual fees. 844-310-2646. 844-310-2646. Or go to LoneStarTransfer.com. We'll be back. What's more entertaining than Irish people arguing? I don't know what it is. It's the accent. And look, these are my people, right? These are my people. So you are going to enjoy this. Before we get to that, though, let's just have a frank talk about where we are. That was a lot of inflation talk, right? And you remember the very beginning of the show when we talked about the price of food? There's no indication this is going to stop. Do you have an emergency food supply for yourself and anyone who lives in your home? Look, if you live alone, fine, get one. There are four of you, get four of them. My Patriot Supply has them ready for you. You don't have to stress out, should I buy this, should I buy that? They're ready for you. My Patriot Supply will send it to your front door, unmarked boxes, don't worry about that, and you get $50 off a four-week supply. Go to preparewithjessekelly.com, and that's what gets you $50 off a four-week supply. Remember, one for everyone in your home. Preparewithjessekelly.com. All right? All right. Let's sit back and enjoy two Irish guys arguing about COVID restrictions.
Okay. Where's your proof that you don't have the virus?
Where's my proof?
Yes.
That I don't have it?
Yes.
Where's your proof that you don't have it?
I don't have to prove to you. You're the one that stopped me. If you want to go along with this scamdemic. Scamdemic!
I haven't stopped you. You have driven into a guard checkpoint.
You have no right to be setting up checkpoints.
Where are you going, sir?
None of your business now.
Well, actually, you're required.
I'm not required under our constitution to do anything you say.
Where are you traveling to today, sir?
I am going to the hardware store to get supplies for my farm. My farm.
Where would that be, sir?
None of your business.
It actually is.
No, it's not. We did not fight 800 years for you to start treating us worse than the British army did. Did we?
Sir, if you just answer the question.
Show me the pandemic.
Watch the news.
The news? Are you having a laugh?
No.
RTE? What the news?
Well, there's other news. The BBC news.
No. The BBC?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
So the Crown News?
Oh, yeah.
You want me to watch the Crown News?
No, well, you're saying RT is
Of course it's
I'll see you tomorrow.
You want
want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.